BKW WrestleMania Night 1 reaction. Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. And from ESPN West Palm, live from Philadelphia, Brian Rowitz. All right, guys, we just saw the main event. The Bloodline took down Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. Bloodline rules for the main event on WrestleMania Sunday. What was your biggest takeaway from Night 1 of WrestleMania?
Well, definitely Bloodline rules. We knew this was going to happen. I think the thing that's so impressive to me, guys, is that The Rock looked good and much better than I expected. Also, what surprised me is that Cody Rhodes took the pinfall, and it came from The Rock. So a few twists and turns I did not expect. I think the three of us said on Thursday there would be Bloodline rules, and it was a much better match than I thought it was going to be. Fantastic way to end Night 1.
Yeah, without a doubt. We saw The Rock take a bump through a table in the year 2024. Like, that was the most remarkable part. And tonight also drove home what we've been talking about for weeks. Rock versus Cody is the story. Like, Cody winning tomorrow does nothing for his beef with The Rock. Like, that still is the story. That's further that, and here we are.
Yeah, look, I assumed that The Rock was going to get the pin because otherwise why have him here? I just assumed it was going to be against Seth, and you'd be able to play that up, and they certainly played up the injury angle with Seth, with Michael Cole yelling before they went off the air. Man, Seth can barely walk, so I am hoping that they kick off WrestleMania Night 2 with that match, and we could get the squash match that I have been thinking they could do for that World Heavyweight Championship. But, I mean, to your point, man, like, The Rock's always been a massive human being. He looked in incredible shape tonight. I did not expect The Rock to look the best in the ring in terms of physical condition. And, I mean, other than that, it was a typical Bloodline match. Like, it's not your Meltzer five-star classic, but it's great storytelling that they do within the ring, playing up the injury angles with Seth Rollins, doing, you know, again, they were a little late, you know, cutting out the F-bomb on the broadcast there. I'm sure you did not see that, Brian, being there live in Philly, but we got the F-bomb of him cursing out the official, telling him he's got to do, you know, whatever The Rock says because he's the final boss. But I thought it was as good as we could have hoped for a main event in Night 1 with The Rock, with Roman, and Seth and Cody. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Again, I didn't expect The Rock to beat the pitfall. If I did, I thought it was going to get Colin, who's the most injured out of the four. But what happens now, bro, is it makes Cody Rhodes even more of a sympathetic figure, makes him more of an underdog that he was the one that took the pin. This is the guy that everyone believes is going to finish the story, and he loses Night 1 at WrestleMania. This is even a bigger story for Cody Rhodes to try to finish coming up for Night 2.
I mean, I'll say, we talked about it a little bit, I've had that little feeling that maybe Roman wins. Tonight makes me think more so that Roman might win tomorrow night. Like, wow, it's going to end sitting on a Prime logo, disappointed.
I go the other way. I mean, if Cody didn't eat the pin tonight, they're not going to have Cody eat the pin in the main event back-to-back nights. Like, and again, by Seth not taking the pin, I think that also telegraphs him eating the pin against Drew McIntyre tomorrow, certainly. But I don't think they're going to have Cody eat the pin in back-to-back nights to lose, to set up the Bloodline rules, and then to not have the chance at the championship. I don't think it happens.
Expect the unexpected.
Hey, look out there at the mat right now. Look outside. Is Cody still sitting in the middle of the ring?
I believe he has left. How about marketing? They made some dollars tonight, didn't they?
Yes, every match made some dollars. There's no question about that. It shows you that the WWE is thriving. So I love that match. Also, something I don't think the three of us thought also with the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther actually loses this to Sami Zayn. I thought that the build for this was kind of late. We saw that great video package with Sami Zayn working out kind of like Rocky in the Rocky movies. And Sami Zayn actually pulls it out, wins the Intercontinental Championship. No one cashes in on him. There's no Damian Priest cashing in on him. So Sami Zayn finally gets his big WrestleMania moment as a singles wrestler and wins over Gunther. That was amazing.
Yeah, thank God that we didn't see somebody run to the ring and try to cash in on a mid-card title. So thank you, Hunter, for not making us go through that for the second. Although, I guess the U.S. title is still tomorrow, so who knows? I'm hoping we can avoid that. But it's one of those things.
Why did he not cash in on Rollins again? If Rollins can't walk and he's laid out, wouldn't tonight have been a good chance also? Again?
In kayfabe, Drew McIntyre went back to the hotel. He was not there.
I guess Priest was sad about the ladder match, so he went back. But maybe that's what it was. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, but as far as that match, first of all, the match was fantastic. And it's one of those things where that Rocky montage that they did on Monday Night Raw that didn't really hit with me on Raw. It's one of those things where the video package ends up being better than what the actual build was. They were able to grab some different things that kind of happened over the last couple of weeks and turn it into a great video package. It's not the first time WWE has been able to do this for a match at WrestleMania. But that brainbuster that to the top turnbuckle, like, to me, that was the move of the night. Like, that was, I mean, match of the night, we can talk about, which was the opener, but the move of the night was Sami Zayn brainbuster to the Intercontinental Champion and Gunther. I thought that was fantastic. It was creative, and Sami gets his moment, which is, I'm sure, now Broich is back in on Sami Zayn despite leaving him for dead. I don't understand what he's doing with his guy, Sami Zayn, but I was excited for Sami.
Yeah, this bandwagon jumper who said that the Intercontinental Championship is below him.
Below him!
Right? You recall this, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Is that a feeling?
What we do.
Am I misremembering that he said it was below him? He said
no,
that. Okay, that's exact. Now he's back in. Now that he sees them, he holds up the championship, and then Broitz, he gets the goosebumps like The Rock. He gets the goosebumps. Feels good about Sami Zayn again. I tune in to see Gunther and Sami Zayn, and I get Gunther against El Generico, because I haven't seen that move since El Generico. I paid $10 in ROH to see him do that move. And all of a sudden, El Generico, something I haven't, because, by the way, you couldn't do that under Vince. There's no way you could do that move. That's so dangerous. That's a ROH indie move, and he did it. And that really was the catalyst for him to win the Intercontinental Championship.
And even the production before the match, the whole backstage stuff, the family, the Gable, the walk into the ring, the bump in with KO, like every part of that match was perfect. Like, Gabe, you say Rhea Becky was match of the night, and that was great. I think the IC title match was match of the night.
Yeah, I really thought that Becky and Rhea set the tone. I really enjoyed that match. And look, we didn't know who was going to win that match, right? And I think they make the right call with Rhea going over. It was, to me, it was the most fun I had watching any match. Although that IC title was a very close second because, as you mentioned, El Generico came out of nowhere. And it's just crazy because under Vince, Sami Zayn, when he was doing that, oh, I got screwed, or he was like that Federation leader thing where he had the Fidel Castro hat and the jacket thing. Like, they weren't letting him wrestle. They weren't letting, to the point where I'm like, is Sami hurt? Is there something wrong? They weren't letting Sami Zayn be Sami Zayn. And I think that's one of the best things that Triple H has been able to do is unleashing the tremendous professional wrestler that is Sami Zayn to the audience. And shockingly, the audience has flocked to Sami and grabbed onto him, except for Brian, who left him for dead.
Yeah, he certainly did. As far as Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch is concerned, Gabe, you're right. It is, that's how you set the tone. Get a good match like that. It further establishes the dominance of Rhea Ripley, how strong she is. I made the parallel on Thursday talking about the Bret Hart kind of Shawn Michaels kind of situation with their two personalities being different. Becky gave a great showing, and we know that she can go. But Rhea Ripley is so strong, I don't know who can beat her. And it's a strong division. NXT, SmackDown, Raw, they're strong divisions. I don't know who's going to beat Rhea. Because Rhea looks so down in the ring.
Yeah, and I think Becky's made the point, like, oh, we don't see you wrestle. I think that's keeping her special. Like, that's making her that much better that we see her out there so infrequently to when Rhea does go out there, she puts on a show.
Is that her presser? Is that her talking?
Yeah, the presser's playing here in the press box, which is where I'm at, which I thought this would be a quiet area. The Spanish radio booth does not get the Wi-Fi that I'm on. So, yeah, if you want to listen to Rhea, that's playing through the speakers right now.
Okay. Yeah, look, and again, I think that eventually the big money is Rhea versus Bianca Belair. That match just – I'll tell you what. That match was what it was. I was really disappointed with the Uso match. I had high expectations for Jimmy versus Jay, and that just – I don't know if I was expecting any sort of run-in from the Bloodline, another little twist in the story between those two. It just, I know both of those guys can go. I've seen it. I've seen it in the tag teams. We've seen Jay go as a singles wrestler. That was, to me, probably the most disappointing match of the night was Jimmy versus Jay.
Somehow, some way, it was good for a while, then it slowed down to a Bloodline pace. Yeah, and you know what I mean by that. Like, the way Roman wrestles, like, I got to walk it and talk it a little bit. We got to slow it down. We already know the story. Just give us a good match. Mm-hmm. It's brother against brother. You guys know each other because you're identical twins. You know exactly what to do in the ring. And I expect that to be 50-50 down the stretch and then maybe Jimmy winning. But that's not exactly what happened. That match did nothing for Jimmy Uso. It did not. Here's a guy here who needed a win, I thought. I thought he needed the victory because Jay's hot. Jay's been established. He's got his own T-shirt. He's yeet. He's all that. No yeet needed to win just to be able to establish more of Jimmy Uso.
But I don't even think it did anything for Jay. Like, we see Jay lose a lot, but, like, that match was so eh that I don't think it did anything for him either.
Yeah, it's the rare match that did nothing for anyone involved in it. It was, again, it left me wanting a little bit more. I thought that the six-woman tag match, it was what it was. Like, they continue to protect Jade, where she gets her offense in, looks good doing her offense, still leaves me questions about, okay, what's it going to look like when she has to do a singles match and actually has to do more wrestling. But she looks fantastic out there, and it can't help me. It makes me feel like, as good as Bianca Belair is, this is almost a wasted WrestleMania for Bianca.
Well, I mean, you look around, Gabe, and you say, well, who's the suitor? Who's the matchup for her? There was nothing ever hot for her. We were talking about this down the stretch in WrestleMania.
Nia. Nia was left home this weekend.
Yeah, where's Nia? I mean, Nia and Bianca is something that we booked because we thought that that would be a good match, or Jade against Nia, but I think that Jade isn't ready.
Jade's not ready for that.
Because Jade eliminated Nyla in the Royal Rumble, so there's a match. But you know what that match was? To showcase Jade Cargill.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was for. And also to make history, to have three African-American women in the ring at the same time as a tag team. I've never seen that before. I don't think anyone's seen that before. So I think for those two factors, that's why she was put in. And, you know, I saw what you were texting us in the group chat about Jade. Hey, man, what we saw from her tonight, did we not see that in ECW?
AEW.
AEW? Mm-hmm. I kind of think we did. Kind of.
But that works here. Like, the presentation's there. Like, you can sort of tell a story. She looks the part. That's all you need to do in the WWE. She doesn't need that 5-star classics every week.
Well, no, but she needs to put on, like, a 2-star match.
But there's enough talent that can carry her through that. Like, a Bayley and Asuka, Dakota. Like, they can carry her through a match like that.
Hey, man. I told you, Gabe. I told you. When she got to WWE and they put her in the Performance Center and you say, all right, let's see what you can do. Then all of a sudden the bell rang and they're like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, again, and that continues. She's been there since September. Like, I would have expected to see at least a little bit of growth from September to now. And that's why it makes me, and don't get me, like, their entrance was also great. Like, I love the entrance that they had, the way they blended Jade with Bianca and Naomi. I thought that was a great entrance. I mean, other than The Rock, probably one of the best entrances of the night, but it's just, again, with Jade, it just leaves me wanting more. And the more they can't actually showcase her in real, you signed her in September as one of the hottest free agents, and we've seen her in a Rumble and a six-woman tag match. There just hasn't been enough there for me. But other than that, I think it's been a great night, WrestleMania night one. I thought it was good pacing. Brett, do you have a final number for us, Brian? A final number for how long the entrances took for the main events?
I believe it was just over 20 minutes from the first note to the bell. And that doesn't count. Remember, the bell rang, and then the four of them stood there staring at each other. So I stopped when the bell rang. So it could have been right.
That's on you. That's on you. You should have known better to keep.
I trusted the bell. My bad.
We've got so much on YouTube, by the way, because Brian Rhodes has been all over Philadelphia. Check it out on our YouTube, man. He's been everywhere. All these independent shows and behind the scenes with WrestleMania.
Certainly appreciate everybody. Make sure you subscribe and comment on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Check us out there. So much more. This is just night one. Brian's live in Philly. We'll have more night two WrestleMania tomorrow night right here on GKW.